You Boulder Denver Fort Collins and beyond. Swing Shift is next. Thanks.
Thanks, Joanne, and a hearty good evening, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you who are regular listeners of this program, you may notice that this is Benny Goodman's theme, not the theme of this program, and that's because I'm giving you a hint. What happened 80 years ago this week? It was described as the single most important jazz or popular music history concert in history. Jazz's coming out party to the world of respectable music. Yeah, tonight we're going to feature the Benny Goodman 1938 Carnegie Hall Concert. And we're going to play some highlights, which I hope you'll enjoy. Lots of fun on the way. Benny Goodman was at the height of his legendary career back in 1938 when his publicist suggested that he play a concert at Carnegie Hall. Benny laughed. He certainly was a star on radio with the Camel Caravan program and stage and on film. He, of course, had already had the label King of Swing permanently attached to his name, but it was so outlandish. The suggestion that a jazz band might play inside the citadel of American high culture, Goodman is said to have laughed at the suggestion. Eventually, he began to warm to the idea, but he was still scared to death, and so was everybody else in the band. He went as far as to ask Beatrice Lilly, a singer and comedian, to appear on the program with him, just in case things didn't go so well, she might pep up the festivities. Wisely, she turned that invitation down. And Saul Hurock, who was one of the primary booking agents into the Carnegie Hall stage, welcomed the idea. And it all took place on January 16th, 1938, and it would be the stuff legend is made of. But fortunately, Benny agreed, and soon forgot, that he had a microphone placed directly above the band. And by wires in those days, of course, it went to a recording studio across the street and into a recording studio in New York. Fortunately, we have those results today, and I'll get into more of that later. But just to show how nervous everybody was, trumpeter Harry James, of course, one of the great members of what's been known as the original Benny Goodman Orchestra, was so nervous he said, "I feel like a whore in church." So everyone was on their best behavior. And you can tell that they were a little nervous going into their first tune of the evening. Benny wanted to make sure it wasn't just a standard program, so he didn't start with Let's Dance. He went to a tune he had just recorded and that was climbing up the charts, and everybody was stiff as a board until Gene Krupa took a solo on Don't Be That Way. Shaking off the cobwebs. Benny Goodman's 1938 Carnegie Hall concert began with Don't Be That Way. After that particular performance, the next tune was kind of lost for years because, for whatever reason, the recording of Sometimes I'm Happy, which came up next, didn't turn out all that well when it was eventually discovered. And so they went on to what ended up was actually the third song played in the program, which was Count Basie's 1 o'clock Jump. For those of you who are not familiar with the story, Benny was out late driving his car home one night when he heard a program from Kansas City, and he was in Chicago at the time. So isn't it funny how those old AM signals used to bounce around and you could get signal from a long way away? And Count Basie was doing a remote from Kansas City, his hometown. And Benny just went ballistic and just thought it was a marvelous, marvelous band and sent John Hammond to go find him. And Hammond brought him to New York. And, of course, that sort of it commenced a career that also became legendary. So Count Basie was certainly a part later on in the Carnegie Hall concert of Benny Goodman in 1938. But here was another salute, Benny's version of 1 o'clock Jump. featuring Jeff Stacy at the piano, and of course an exquisite solo by Benny and the trumpet of Harry James. That was the 1 o'clock jump from Benny Goodman's Carnegie Hall concert of 1938. At 9 o'clock, it was 42 degrees here in the Denver metro area. And boy, did we have a glorious day for January. It hit 66 degrees. Tomorrow will be pretty much the same at 65 degrees. So if you have a chance to get your LaSalle out for a spin, that looks to be your pick day. Saturday will be a little cooler with a high around 51. And Sunday, it looks like we'll get a little snow, a little moisture, which we certainly need. High only about 32 and a low around 19. It's hard 80 years later to put some things in context about this particular concert. But another thing that strikes me is I wonder how many African-American musicians had made it to the stage of Carnegie Hall by January 16th of 1938. And I'll bet you 100 to 1 that there was no mixed group. In other words, white and black musicians who appeared together on that stage until, of course, the Benny Goodman Quartet did so on that date. Of course, Benny played the clarinet along with Gene Krupa at the drums and Lionel Hampton at the vibraphone and the wonderful Teddy Wilson at the piano. As we go through the highlights of that concert that evening, I thought the next logical choice would be a wonderful version of a quartet favorite. Here's Avalon. Thank you. The Benny Goodman Quartet with their famous version of Avalon. You know, it's interesting to look back 80 years and just think, you know, some of the cost of living comparisons as the United States was nearing the end of the Depression, of course, in 1938. It's interesting to think that a new house, an average new house, cost $3,900. Average income was a little over $1,700 a year. A new car averaged $860. Average rent was $27 a month. And tuition at Harvard University for the year was $420. A movie ticket was a quarter, and gas was 10 cents a gallon. By the way, the postage stamp, which I think is due to go up later this month, was 3 cents. We are listening to the Benny Goodman Carnegie Hall concert of January 16th, 1938. It's legendary, and it's probably the most important jazz concert in history. So to celebrate the 80th anniversary of that great event, we are listening to portions of that great program. I encourage you certainly to go get a copy of the entire program with its mostly ups and some less successful moments, but it certainly meets the criteria of legendary material and legendary jazz. KGNU would like to have you join us and the Colorado Friends of Cajun and Zydeco Music Saturday, February 3rd. For our annual Mardi Gras celebration. It's an evening of music, dance, and costumes with Jesse Lachey, Ed Poulard at Boulder's Avalon Ballroom. Doors open at 6:30. The Zydeco dance lesson starts at 7, and the band strikes up at 8 o'clock. Tickets are available on our website at kgnu.org. And it's always a pleasure to get your comments, suggestions, and requests here on KGNU. We certainly welcome them. If you have any suggestions for future broadcasts of Swing Shift, be sure to give me a call at 303-825-0619. As we move forward through the concert that evening, next up was Miss Martha Tilden, who joined the band in 1935 and stayed through 1938, before going out on her own. She was known as Lilton Martha Tilden back in the day, and she sang a very popular tune of 1938 and one of Benny Goodman's hits. Here's Loch Lomond.
Take the high road and I'll take the low road, but I'll be in Scotland afore you. Oh, me and my true love may never meet again on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. By yon bonny banks and by yon bonny brae, where the sun shines bright on Loch Lomond, where me and my true love were ever wont to gaze on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. Now you take the high road and I'll take the low road, but I'll be in Scotland afore you. For me and my true love may never meet again on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. Shady
Lilton Martha Tilden with, of course, Benny Goodman's version of Loch Lomond. And, of course, that also featured the second trumpet player, famous trumpet player of the original Benny Goodman Orchestra. Remember, there were only three. There was Harry James, of course, and Ziggy Elman, who would later go on to even greater fame with Tommy Dorsey's orchestra, and Chris Griffin, who also is probably the unsung member of that trio, but an excellent trumpet player who stayed with Benny even after most of the original members left later in 1938 and early 1939. We are going to listen next to very much an up-tempo thing next. Just kind of flies right along. And here is Swing Time in the Rockies. Swing Time in the Rockies. You know, it's interesting that apparently two sets of recordings were made at the recording studio across the hall with that single mic up above the band back in 1938. And one set ended up in the Library of Congress, and the other set ended up in Benny Goodman's closet, where it was discovered by his sister-in-law as she was cleaning one day and wondered what in the world it was. Well, thankfully, this is 1950 now, more than a dozen years after the concert, Benny realized what it was. And it turned out, in putting all of that together, that it was the first ever double album. It was one of the first records of Benny Goodman music issued in a new long playing format that had been introduced by Columbia only a couple years earlier. And it was the first to sell over 1 million copies. it certainly was a landmark recording that probably, strangely enough, was brought out at the right time when LPs were really establishing themselves as the primary source of recorded music in the average everyday household. But it's also interesting that many of the tunes that were actually recorded at the Carnegie Hall concert didn't make it to the initial release because it was thought by the executives at Columbia that the sound quality just wasn't good enough for them to release it on the original LP version. So therefore, back in 1999, a disc was issued, and now we're talking CDs, of course, that a two-CD performance was made available of the entire concert. And this included Phil Schaap of recording fame going to the Library of Congress and getting some of those old acetates from the Library of Congress and putting them together on the program after trying to clean them up digitally as much as possible. So a more complete album of the concert is now available. Interestingly enough, in these days of computers, if you actually want to see some of the performances, they're out on YouTube. You can actually see newsreel footage of this particular legendary concert from 80 years ago this week. A couple of tunes after Swing Time in the Rockies, the wonderful Benny Goodman Quartet made another appearance in the program. And this time, it was a tune that Benny had originally introduced as a big band number that also had been authored by Chick Webb. But here we're going to listen to the wonderful quartet play Stompin' at the Savoy. Stomping at the Savoy. Next up is perhaps the most widely listened to song from the program. It was supposed to be the ending piece for the concert that evening, and that, of course, is Benny's signature piece, Sing, Sing, Sing. And there's numerous great solos in there, but pay particular attention to the guy who surprised everybody with just a remarkable piano solo, Jess Stacy, towards the end of the piece. Thank you. From January 16th, 1938, 80 years ago, the Benny Goodman performance of Sing, Sing, Sing from Carnegie Hall. And that was the conclusion of the regular program that evening. He went on to do some rather low-key things to try to calm down the audience in Carnegie Hall that evening. And I'm going to play one for you. I think we have enough time. And I own a 1938 LaSalle, and I remember when the reissue came out, one of the radio stations here in town actually played this. And I still remember having an out-of-body experience as Benny was playing If Dreams Come True, and there I was driving my dream, my 1938 Sally. Here's If Dreams Come True. As we pass the 10 o'clock hour, it's my duty to remind you, this is KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Stay tuned now, as I will, for jazz.
And moving up to 2018, it's Jazz Lives.